Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Established African. I'm your host, Daniela Morgan, joined along with my co-host,
African Castro.
So today we're going to talk about the culture of judgment, the system behind our morals, where do they actually come from, and a sneak peek into a really heated, controversial topic that we're going to have prepared for you for our next segment. So, Castro, how have you been?
I've been salamas, you know what I mean? I've been, you know, I like the topic today. It sounds very nice.
It's great because it's so relatable to each and every one of us in our own individual ways, you know?
Man, I like it because sababu tunapenda kujajiana. Guy,
hey, because of this Nairobi.
Let's see where we're going to get with this conversation.
This city is just
I really
too
like
small.
This.
Huh?
I really like this. How did you think about this? You know, I mean, Wellness Mondays is mostly you know.
Yes,
I learn a lot from you.
Oh, yes. Thank you for that.
How did you think about this and where did your mind, you know? This?
Well, I just realized that judgment isn't just inflicted upon us. We also inflict it on other people. And I feel like even being in like the spotlight or the limelight or even just somebody who's more of like a small scale business person or even has a small social circle of friends, we always come across judgment in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
From developing as young people to young adults to now the business people that we are, we come across judgment, and some of it we can easily shrug off and others really sticks and is embedded with us, you know?
Yeah.
So with that said, now I'd just like to go to like just the basic definition of what I found out judgment is.
Mm.
So the ability to make considered decisions based off of sensible notions. So that is initially
okay.
What judgment should be.
Mm.
But you know, this Nairobi.
Abu educators, break down that meeting, Kabisa.
Yeah. So
that definition, because Abu, even me, you know, I'm trying to make sure that these people understand
okay.
what you really mean by the word judging.
Okay,
you know?
So the ability to make considered decision based off of sensible notions. So this usually is more or less attained by actually knowing before speaking on something, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I believe that judgment is actually more of sparked through belief systems, like what we believe is the absolute truth.
Okay.
For instance, there are certain influences in our lives that can actually more or less direct us to why we judge what we judge and where it comes from. For example, religion.
Some
people, God is the absolute truth. So if you go against certain practices that certain religions usually conform to, you're viewed as, you know, not a good person, not righteous enough, etc., etc.
Okay.
And let me just give a more relatable example, just because we're just not assuming everybody is a practicing Christian here.
Okay.
Like, for instance, let's say in the corporate world, you know, there are people who are high profile, you know, and CEOs and stuff. So let's say somebody you actually admire, somebody with a great audience, somebody with influence says something.
Mm.
More or less, the more sheep-like mentality is, since this person said it, it has to be true.
Okay.
So there are different influences in our lives that can actually determine whether or not we believe something is what it is, rather than what it appears to be. So we need to have that emotional intelligence to learn how to observe, because I just personally realized that observation without evaluation is one of the highest forms of intelligence. Learning how to stay still, groundless, I think we spoke about this earlier, unmoved, the fine line between objectivity and subjectivity is really key to actually understanding and analyzing what's going on.
That's deep.
You know, responding and not reacting, actually seeing things as they are, as black and white, as possible.
As possible.
Yeah.
And I remember I had a conversation with you prior. You know, we have great conversations outside the camera, guys. So I'm sorry, you're never there.
This
but
is just an extension.
This is just an extension, but we usually have a lot of great conversations. And I remember I was telling you, sometimes it's difficult for especially us men to be able to know how to judge a situation, because sometimes you have a, you know, you have a, you know, you have a she friend, the understanding of the dynamics of how you guys sometimes react to things becomes so difficult for us to be able to judge.
Yeah.
Are we in a right situation right now, or this is a confronting situation we're in?
Yeah.
You can't even tell.
Like, different genders think differently, obviously,
it's like,
on
you
certain
know,
issues.
Most of my female friends, I'm sorry to say this, they're lukewarm.
They look what?
They're lukewarm. Like, today, you know, you're warm to me, tomorrow you're cold as hell. So I usually want to try and understand, how do I judge these scenarios to be able to know how to even say the right things. Because me, sometimes I just, you know,
okay.
you know, street mentality. Sometimes you just say it as you see.
You just, yeah, and you know just take it for what it is.
And you have misjudged the person, and probably, yeah. they, you know, they were not in that kind of, you know.
I will say something, and this is something that I've learned, and it's actually been so imperative with my growth and how I actually move, you know, because the preconceived idea is that if somebody looks a certain way or is a certain way or is behaving in a certain manner, that's exactly who they are. But that is not entirely true. We're judging them based off of one entity. You know, if somebody's in a bad mood, of course they're going to seem like a bad person there and then. It's called a blanket statement, you know, when you just use a certain thing and then generalize a whole human being based off that one thing. So let's say 1 minute somebody is very nice and warm to you, then the other minute maybe they found out somebody passed on, maybe they're fighting with their significant other, etc., etc.
Okay.
These are different variables that actually add on to how a person can appear to be. We're all very, the intricacies of being a human are so complex. You know, we can't, we're never going to be black and white. You know?
Okay.
Like, for instance, like, today I might have an off day, but you know me based off of the accumulation of experiences you've had with me, which is why when you get to know someone, that's the only way to get to know someone.
Exactly.
So if, like, the experiences you have gathered with the person is more bad than good, is more negative than positive, is more problematic than actually compatible, that's how you can judge, this is the person I'm dealing with, and then you can prevent what you can predict. That's
And most of the time, let me ask you, do we, because there's a difference. There's a difference between behavior and a character. So do we judge behavior or do we judge character? What mostly do we do that you find it wrong? Because behavior is, you know, it's just things like she's a liar or, you know, she's aggressive.
You know,
just small things that, you know, just behavior, you know.
Yeah, they behaviors can change.
But characters don't change.
I mean, I feel like character development, it's rather that you can leave versions of yourself.
Okay.
You know, like, for instance, 2017 Castro is not 2020 Castro.
True.
You know, you leave different versions of yourself. So with that said, like I said, with especially in these Nairobi dynamics, you know, your behavior onto other people is a reflection of how you feel about yourself.
Okay.
You know, you can really learn a lot about yourself by even what irritates you about somebody else. There's a reason why that certain thing is triggering you so much.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's past experiences, you know.
Okay.
Perhaps it's a trigger for you. Like, there's a certain psychologist that said, children raise children. For instance, if your inner child hasn't been healed for maybe a certain traumatic experience, or you were raised in a very abusive home and stuff, you might end up seeking your parents in your partners subconsciously, you know.
True.
You might end up reliving and recycling certain experiences because you are not even loving the person but trauma bonding with them, because it's something that you are familiar with. So when you're familiar to chaos, anything that's not chaos seems very dysfunctional or like a bit boring, you know.
Yeah.
So now with behavior, I think behavior is honestly just a reaction to somebody's character, to what they have gone through in life. And then sometimes they can project it. You gave a good example of how sometimes men and women can differ in certain things. Your influences have taught you, like, this is wrong, you know, or you need to be conservative, or this is not how a lady should carry themselves.
It's true.
Or dress the way you want to be viewed, etc., etc. But for women, we're like, none of that matters, because we are trying to equalize now. How we dress, how we carry ourselves shouldn't be determined by your hormones or how you view us. You know, we are taking control of ourselves as a separate entity, not under the patriarchy. You know,
system.
So you see how different influences have influenced you, and now more liberated influences are influencing us now.
It's true.
You see, so now it's either men adjust accordingly or there's always just going to be a conflict. Because I don't think women are willing to give up their power. In fact, I don't even think women necessarily give it up. It was just taken away.
It was just taken away.
It was taken away for most of the part.
I think we were all liberated back in the days, because if you can look if you look at the most historical pictures, men walked naked, women walked naked. So it wasn't like, even Adam and Eve.
You mean, when it comes to like African culture, then
even
perhaps,
I'm talking like even African culture, like, yeah. Men were half naked mostly. Even females were half naked.
I mean,
mostly,
when you're talking to body image, I feel like it all was stemmed from a lot of like religious attributes that were brought to us.
I wonder if there was body shaming back in the days.
Body shaming? I don't think so. From even what some of the accounts my shosho told me, it was more or less like a neutralized ground for both men and women. Like, we weren't viewed in like a shameful manner. But I think now, perhaps when Christianity was introduced, that narrative slowly started to shift.
Okay.
Because if you've noticed, most of these were actually, from what we were taught in like Sunday school and stuff, you know, dress like a God-fearing woman, act like a God-fearing woman, etc., etc. However, you know, this is not
Catholic
true.
Has been very controversial.
Oh, yes,
man.
Yes. It can be very controversial.
Man.
But that is a topic for
another day. That's a topic
day.
For another day. I'd like to sit with the Pope. I'd really want to see where his mindset is at.
Well, let me know.
He finally
how that goes.
Agreed gays to get married in Catholic churches.
Well, that's great, because you know, I'm a firm believer that if God doesn't alter free will, then neither should you. Let people be who they are and do as they please, you know.
Do you find that awkward?
What awkward exactly?
The Pope gave gays the rights to get married in the Catholic church?
Not at all. I feel like now such a high power in the sense of like now the Christian directive giving his consent and his blessing to this might hopefully shine a better perspective on other people who are against it, and showing that, okay, this is a guy who's the real deal. And he said that it's okay, guys. So now sometimes...
I'm waiting for the New Testament Bible verse 3 to come out.
Honestly speaking,
I'm waiting
like
for
I
these
said,
disciples who...
It's some of these...
Who wrote this stuff back in the day to give us these rights as well.
Scripture-based, yeah. You know? It's not something that... I feel like we were born and genuinely felt initially. It's something that we've been taught, you know.
Do you feel like gays will ever be accepted in the Muslim world? Do you feel like they'll say Muhammad missed some steps? These people.
No, I think from my experiences, even with just some of my friends, it doesn't look likely. However, I don't know enough about the Muslim religion to talk on it.
Okay.
But slowly shifting to Nairobi dynamics, back to judgment.
Okay.
I feel like judgment in itself now is very ego-driven, you know?
Ego-driven,
especially in Nairobi. It's usually a way to one-up the other person, to validate yourself, to put someone down, to generally just make a point, you know? But that's the thing about ego, is that you could generally judge someone and not have a single clue about them, you
it's
know?
True. It's
like,
true.
You'll see in, like, different club settings, you'll see they're very click based, you know. There'll be bottle service people, then there'll be people bambilizing ciders in another corner, etc. etc. But initially, we're all the same age, we're all of the same social circle, but they'll treat certain people differently.
Yeah.
And this can also be based off of classism. The isms, there's classism, racism, tribalism, all of this stuff can actually influence why we judge people. These are all systems that were put in place.
Yeah.
Even religion to some degree.
Yeah.
And it can explain why we can be so harsh with our judgments. Mm. Why is she dressed like that?
Yeah.
Oh, she only has this bottle service. Oh, why is she dating that person? Oh, this person is so broke. These are all inner conflict. It's kind of just like you have a problem with them because initially you have a problem with yourself.
Yeah.
That's what I view it as.
There's an issue because poor people are not judged the same way rich people are judged. Let me just take it there.
Of course.
Like, if I stole a chicken and I'm caught today, I'm going to serve a sentence.
Yeah.
If I robbed you billions and billions and come and gave you wheelbarrows and still said, yo, you need to vote for me, I've given you wheelbarrows, I'm still going to be out here doing my thing. So what do you think, even in our judge, you know, the way we have put our laws and structures in our system, in the laws, do you feel like we judge each other the right way, even from the law and order that has been set there by the government?
Like I said, you're
all over the world.
Like, for like,
because you can see all these uprisings right now.
Like I said before, you know, your perceptions in life become reality. And just because you believe strongly in something doesn't mean it's the right thing. For instance, we can bring the issue of race. There's some white extremists that still believe that they are better than mm-hmm. black people, yeah. you know, or they still believe that black people are secondary and should be enslaved, etc., etc. Mm. Just because you believe strongly in something doesn't make it true.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it true. You yeah. know? So you need to reanalyze where the core of your belief systems is coming from, the foundation of your belief systems. And like I said, a huge part of learning is unlearning. Because even for me, like, I grew up mm-hmm. believing in all sorts of crap. If I'm going to be very honest, you know, I believed in the whole conservative notion that women are respected solely based on how they act, what they can provide for a household, how they dress. But then I just realized, no, it's not that. Women should just be judged based off of how they also view themselves. You know, I am my number one longest relationship, therefore mm-hmm. I need to love myself to set that standard for other people. It's not yeah. what I can give other people necessarily. Even tribalism to a huge degree. Me and you both come from a Kikuyu background rather.
Bye.
Yes. So with that said, now I was mm-hmm. definitely embedded with a lot of tribalist undertones where yeah. like, oh no, Luo can come to this house, never marry a Luo. But you know, I don't personally believe in that, you know?
Yeah.
So growing up even in religious school settings, you know, and how, you know, if you don't believe in God, this and this will happen. But you just realize we come from various different backgrounds and everybody has experienced different things as well. You know, you need to realize that sometimes even the reason why a person might be so passive aggressive is because they've dealt with something very difficult in their lives and they don't know how to overcome it at that particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
Why somebody is super talkative as well, maybe they weren't paid attention to a lot mm-hmm. growing up, etc.,
yeah.
etc.
Yeah.
You know, why somebody drinks so much, you know, maybe they're trying to forget a certain ABCD
yeah.
At a particular time. Like I said, and the saying precedes itself, like, you never know, so don't judge.
Yeah.
That's why the highest form of intelligence is actually simply to observe. That's what I believe.
And, you know, for me, it's like, you know, I believe judgment affirms even our own, especially when we put love in it, when it's involved in love. Because, yeah. you know, like the certain fears that I've learned about myself with my woman.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You
yes.
know, like.
You come face to face with them.
You come into realization yeah. and you're about.
You come face to face with yourself.
Exactly.
Through someone else.
I didn't understand that there's certain fears that I have as a person when I was judging my wife.
Yeah.
You know, on certain things.
Yeah.
So you start to realize that there are certain fears that you have as a person that you need to shed
address.
Off and address.
Shedding. I like the use of that word.
Yeah, and covering it with love, because you gotta be confident with the person that you're with, you know?
Exactly.
And these norms and these rules we are taught by our fathers, like, you know, you gotta control each and every angle that a woman approaches you with.
It's the sum of teachings from somebody else that might not even apply to who you are now, you know? Just because we were taught something doesn't mean we have to carry it through till the end.
Exactly.
That's why I say we leave different versions ourselves to become who we are now. So I like the fact that you use such an intimate example, because it's really true.
Yeah.
Initially, you're face to face with your fears, and eventually, it doesn't matter who you're with or who's in you, etc., etc.
It all goes down to you. Yeah.
So on the topic of judgment, I'll leave you guys with some advice.
Mm-hmm.
There are always three sides to a story and to a person. There's your version that lives inside the head. You know, there are different versions that live. The different versions of yourself that live inside other people's heads that might even be true.
It's true.
So there's your version, there's their version, and then there's the actual truth.
Try always lean
more towards the actual truth.
Yeah.
Whether somebody believes it or not, the truth is absolute.
Man, it's hard, man. That topic of judgment, I believe it's something we could have discussed further, but I know it's a lengthy one. You know,
it's lengthy and it's very broad, but hopefully we've touched up on the key aspects of it, you know?
Yeah.
But now swiftly moving forward to morals. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
we're going to discuss morals here.
Yeah. We're going to now briefly touch
this
on
tomorrow.
Ah, morals.
Morals for real?
We can just touch up on
this. This is 2020.
Like
people done lost morals everywhere, man. Look at America. It's looking like Uganda, man.
Okay.
Trump is looking like Museveni. Where is the morals in this modern day world you are living in, man?
Well, like we said, let's just touch up on small scale morals between me and you, because if we're going to really talk about politicians, etc., etc., that's when we can spend all day, or we'll just walk out of set, one of the two. But yeah, morals are derived from like a code of conduct, and are usually influenced by like systems that have been put in place, you know?
Yeah.
There are religion, mm-hmm. culture, philosophical values, and just a universal look
yes.
on what it is to be good or be right, you mm. know? That's what morals are. They're synonymous with being absolutely good and right, you know?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with like external factors or standards. Mm. It's who you are, the core being of who you are.
Exactly.
You know? So can you share some of your morals, the values that you have been taught and grown up with, your experiences, and the ones that you'd even pass down to your own son if you had one, mm. or daughter?
I think the most instrumental morals that I've been taught is, first and foremost, how to respect yourself as a person. You know,
oh, yes.
you cannot yes. demand respect until you respect yourself
Ooh.
As a person.
Can I touch up on that? I actually realized,
mm.
you know, from maybe around 21 until now at 26,
yeah.
I just realized like, wow, like I used to always have this very passive aggressive notion that I demand respect. That's how it's been glamorized, you know? You gotta walk into a room and demand respect, but you just realize
yeah.
respect is something freely given, you know?
It's freely given.
It's freely given. It's earned, you know?
Yes.
It's like the most noble form of somebody acknowledging the yes. space you occupy and appreciating
and
it. And that's not something that you can just demand. It's something that's
exactly,
freely given.
Exactly.
You know, from anybody in this world, you know, from your parents
mm.
to your siblings to your housekeeper, you
yeah.
know, you cannot force anybody to respect you.
You
it
know?
Is something that is freely given.
You know me, I like attacking our politicians, you know? So you cannot just come out here, rob the whole society
and then give
us a strategy and say you have to respect this strategy. So you guys gotta follow this BBI strategy and follow it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't work yeah. like that. You gotta respect the people who gave you that position of power.
Especially if you
first and foremost.
Especially
before anything.
Exactly. Especially if you've perpetuated, or just think of the foundations that you've set up. If you've treated somebody like absolute trash,
mm.
and then you expect them to still respect you at the end of the day, it really
it doesn't work.
It's either the person genuinely doesn't respect you, but is mm. putting up a front because mm. you have something over them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Or there's gonna be some sort of conflict.
It's true.
Eventually.
True. So let me tell you one story.
Embedded,
there's an influencer who likes talking about respect a lot out there, and there's a day I was, you know, I'm with my woman, and you know, she works for a big brand.
Okay.
And they do, you know, digital, you know, influencer marketing a lot.
Yeah.
So when you call me when I'm in the car, my phone is always attached. The Bluetooth is always on the.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So, I picked up his call because mm-hmm. I was driving and the radio was on and he's on speakers. He doesn't know that.
Yeah.
So, he's not happy with how he was handled by the company that
okay.
my woman works for, and she's the one who's handling that account.
Okay.
So as we driving and we're going, you know, we're driving and he's talking and he's talking out of anger, yo, they cannot treat me like this, you know, I'm the king of this and I make things happen, you know. I got money, bro. I got money. I'm like, yeah, I hear you, bro. You know, he's talking so fast and I'm trying to say, I'm with the person you're complaining.
Oh, but like,
in the car,
but go on ahead.
And talking. So he reached somewhere.
When people show you who they are, believe them.
Exactly.
Believe
so
them,
he reached somewhere, you know? And he said, that bitch can go ahead and, you know, stay with this brand. I don't even need that endorsement anymore. And I'm like, oh my goodness. This guy just called my woman a bitch. And
way to
at
play
the same
yourself.
Time,
way to play yourself.
Ah, this is a client and she's hearing it. So I had to cut the phone. I had to cut it, like, because I knew it was the ticking bomb before she responds.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, this
and
is also
I was
a
like,
classic,
man,
a classic example of how you have to watch your thoughts when you're alone and your words when you're with people, you know? And how you literally, it's literally like retraining and reforming yourself.
Yeah.
Because there are some people who really put like the highest value or the highest form of respect is having money.
Yeah.
And I just feel like there's some stuff that really money can't buy, you know?
Money
can't
buy respect.
All the money that person has, they could afford some etiquette, some manners. These are things that are literally embedded, which is why morals is it's not as forgiving as anything else.
Exactly.
You know, if you have bad teeth, go to the dentist, you know?
Go to the
if
dentist.
You have bad hair, go get a weave, you know?
Exactly.
If you don't like your body, you can go fix it. But if you're an ugly person deep down inside, that is something that needs to be reformed. It's not something that you can buy. It's something that you start working towards yourself, you know? And that's not something that can just be given. It's something that's found within.
It's so true.
You know? So
it's
humility so is one of, and I've always said this, for me, humility is the standard of intelligence. Anybody who's humble enough, for instance, Castro, for me, anytime I'm trying to make an example of somebody's bad behavior, that's really ticking me off. Yeah. There's sometimes I fail at it and I will react, though I've definitely improved. Ask this guy. I used to be a hothead and a half. This is my witness.
Baby. You are crybaby.
But there has been some leaps of improvement.
I like the growth. You know, the gradual growth is nice.
Yeah, and it's a journey. It's not like a finished product, but I definitely, even I can acknowledge that I've improved.
Yeah.
So I always try to give myself as an example, especially with somebody with a temperament issue. I give myself as an example to equalize the environment so that they don't feel like I'm trying to be better than them or belittle them. I'll be like, you know, I also went through this, this, and this, so this is what could help you.
Yeah.
You know, without trying to be condescending.
Yes.
So that is a humility. And this is an attribute of the wisest people, not even the most intelligent.
It's true.
The wisest of people.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely tell you guys to practice regular humility and be teachable.
Be teachable. You know?
Everybody always wants to give their power away by holding on to what they think is right instead of just letting go and releasing and saying, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. How can we move on from this?
Exactly.
You can only meet people as deeply as they've met themselves, which is why humility, unfortunately, can only be given, but you cannot take it. You cannot demand it, just like respect.
It's the same thing. So, I mean, for me, it starts with the personal, you know, just you respecting yourself so that other people can respect you, you know?
And
another moral I think I'd teach my son is emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like just the fact that we are having these internet babies who don't know how to react to things. You know, I'm actually starting to see CEOs ranting on Twitter nowadays. Yeah. I'm seeing CEOs calling out people on Twitter, and I'm surprised. This thing has gotten to that level.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, where are we taking our emotional intelligence as a people? What's happening to, you know, the fact that, what happened to the fact that, let me just let this problem right now sink in. I'll meet you and I'll face you and we'll talk amicably to try and solve this situation. What's really happening?
Because
I feel like social media is really, and the internet has really pulled out people's character out on the internet, and it's becoming a whole.
Our socials are definitely fueled by ego, you know, and like nothing prosperous ever comes from ego.
Yeah.
The funny thing about ego is that it will eventually turn against you. You know, you eventually turn on yourself.
Exactly.
You know, especially when there's no one else left to project anything onto.
Yeah.
Another moral for me, just to add on to that, is I feel like kindness and maturity and composure. I feel like some of the people I admire the most are very calm people. You know, all these, I hate using this term, but maybe we'll just associate it in Nairobi. You know, all the hippies, the wellness people, like the yoga heads, like not all. I mean, obviously there are other people who fit into that, but I've noticed the themes of the people I admire are usually people who are generally at peace with themselves, you know? People who are composed, people who are calm.
Yeah.
I've done wrong to people and they've welcomed me and my apologies with open arms because they saw through my emotions and just directly saw the core. I think you gave me as an example once of how you were waiting for me to shed the immature inner child and become a woman, or the woman that you saw.
The person you are right now.
Yeah, the person I'm trying to be right now, you know? So there's some people who do bad things, but are not bad people.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where like shame and guilt can come from. You know,
it's a behavior issue. You can change a behavior. I always say it this way. You can change someone's behavior over time, but to change someone's character, it's up to them to decide.
Oh, yeah. That has nothing to do with you, even you know if you wanted to.
You know, because at the end of the day, there are people who are just built to be what they are. And even, I take these things sometimes even from religion. I believe God and Satan were different people. Satan chose to be who he is, and he chose that character to be who is he. You know what I mean? God decided to be who he is, and he chose to be who he is. So at the end of the day, I believe characters can be changed, but it starts from self. You identifying, I have a character problem. But behavior,
you have to be conscious and
behavior can change
about it.
with the people that you are around with.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
You don't want to be around yes men who keep encouraging these kind of behaviors,
you know?
And then you end up looking away and they just keep talking about
you. It's an environment thing, because I realized
Nairobi is a big culprit when it comes to this.
I realized, let me tell you one thing.
You have people feeding your ego and
From a manager's standpoint, in my career, I realized that I became a liar to a lot of clients based off the people I was managing, because I'd first and foremost had to look out for them before I look out for the client's needs and expectations. Because a client will call you and ask you, why hasn't he posted? Why hasn't she posted? Yeah. And you're like, they're going to post. So you have to create a lie to be able to buy more time for them to post. And if they don't post again, you still have to come up with another lie to be able to save the face of your influencer. So I developed a habit of sometimes just looking out for these people. And I realized once I stopped managing people, I just stopped lying to clients. And I started telling clients like it is.
You know what? Just to end the topic on morals, on a note that actually gave me a little bit more peace anytime I feel like I'm dealing with things that are out of my control.
True.
I just always remember that that's a part of their story.
Yeah.
It's in the same manner where I had to and you had to grow out of different habits and even out of yourself to become a better version.
True.
All you can do is pray that the journey leads them to their most elevated self and you'll meet them there, you know, because it's only up from here.
Yeah.
So you meet them there.
Man.
So yeah, thank you for sharing some of your morals. This has been a really intense and in-depth topic and I'm glad we had it because everybody can relate to it. And yeah, catch us next week for this really heated debate.
Oh my
dialogue.
God. Are we gonna do that
discussion?
Are we gonna do that topic
really? Oh, definitely. I think
Jesus
it's a great
Christ,
topic,
man.
Because it's gonna birth better perspectives
my
like
goodness.
On the matter. And it's needed. It's needed.
Do you think it's needed?
I definitely think it's needed.
Our producer Ijao, she's a Muslim. I don't know whether she'll accept to that, but we still have to discuss it either way.
Anyway, moving forward. Moving forward, Catherine, he's coming to
this lovely environment.
Yeah, it's definitely needed.
You like the new change?
Oh yeah, I love this place. Oh my gosh. It's like outside meets
so like
inside.
A wellness center.
You know?
Can you do yoga here?
Of course you can do yoga here. It's brilliant. I love places where creatives can get creative.
Yeah.
And the outdoors and nature really add on to that.
Wow.
Yeah, I definitely.
So shout out to Ikigai for giving us this space.
Yes.
To be able to shoot here. And, you know, it's a very beautiful place, a business community center whereby you can come, just apply, check their website out. I think we'll put their website at the end of this cast. And also, if you have any feedbacks, anything that you want to talk to us about, you can check our social media. You can follow Daniela at Daniela Morgan. You can follow me at African Castro, or follow our pages at Established Africans. Just send in DMs. There's an email that's down there, just already been put. If you feel like you want us to discuss more wellness aspects, shoot me an email. Let's discuss more. I'm a bit here.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a space where there are no right or wrong answers. It's all about discussion, dialogue, and just elevating. So thank you for having us, and we'll see you next time.